بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I just had a lovely call with my Tamil teacher, Mr. Kannan. We used to call him Kannan Vadyar. He taught me Tamil in 1983, when I first joined the tea planting business, tea gardens, in the Anamalais, in Coimbatore district, in Valpare. So I called him. I hadn't spoken to him for a long time, so I called him, and then his son has WhatsApp on his phone, so he said, "I want to see you." So we did a WhatsApp face-to-face call, and it was wonderful. He's now, of course, grown very old and a little bit hard of hearing and so on, but his son was there to help us to talk, and absolutely beautiful conversation, and brought back all the old memories. Then he told me, your Tamil is still, you haven't forgotten what you learnt, and you still speak very fluently and so on." And of course, made me very happy, that coming from my teacher. The reason I'm mentioning this to you is for two things. One is, of course, the importance of keeping in touch with old friends. And as I grow older, I've always kept in touch with my friends, but as I grow older now, the need seems to be even more marked, and I make special effort to talk to them, to be in touch with them. So, and it's important to do that, because friendships are not something small. They are not something which just happen. Friendships are the result of effort, but apart from effort, they are the result of one very important thing, which is believing the best about your friend and deliberately ignoring anything which is negative, unless of course it is something which is harmfully negative. But other than that, ignoring that which is negative and focusing on that which is positive. This is what helps to build a friendship. Gratitude for what you got from what you received from the friend over the years. Now, in this case, from my friend Mr. Kannan, I received the best of all gifts. That is the gift of knowledge. He taught me Tamil, which is one of the oldest languages of the world, and it's a rich language, very beautiful. The literature of Tamil is incredibly rich, and in the course of learning the language, I realized another thing, which is that by learning the language, he opened for me the doors to Tamil culture. And I realized that the door to a culture is through the language. You cannot know a culture by any other means. Or at least I should say that, I should modify that statement and say that you cannot know a culture fully and properly and in depth. And you can never appreciate a culture unless you speak that language. I think the examples of this, of what I'm saying, are not difficult to find. For example, if you look at the number of Desis, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, people who live in the Middle East. And if you talk to the average person and see what do they know about the culture of the country in which they live. I mean, just saying Arab culture itself has no meaning, because there's no such thing as Arab culture. The culture of, for example, Lebanon is completely different from the culture of Saudi Arabia, or the culture of Oman is completely different from the culture of the Emirates. and the culture of Kuwait is very different from the culture of Bahrain. There's so many differences. The point is that even though there are people who have, and especially our people of from our part of the world, the Indian subcontinent, who have lived in the Middle East, who have literally as a group, you can quite safely say that they built the Middle East. What you see in the Middle East today is to a great deal, a huge extent, the result of the efforts of people from the Indian subcontinent. I mean, whether anyone denies it or not, that is the reality, that is the truth. But if you talk to those people, if you talk to the average person, the Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi who lives in any of these countries, and say, what do you know about the culture? It's very little. Because we live in our own enclaves, we live with our own people and so on. And many times people even complain. They say that, you know, these Arabs are, they don't invite you home and they're not hospitable and so on, which is very unfair and incorrect, because among the most hospitable people in the world, in my experience, among the absolutely the most hospitable people in the world are the Arabs, irrespective of which country. This is my experience in my travels and so on, that absolutely the number one hospitality in the world is among the Arabs, irrespective of which country. Now, the reason why they may appear inhospitable to anyone is because of language. Because many of the of our Desi, especially the ladies, they say that, you know, when we go there, we're sitting with the women. I mean, they are looking at our faces, we are looking at their faces. There is no common language, because we don't speak Arabic, they don't speak English, and obviously they don't speak Urdu or Tamil or Malayalam or whatever. So, or Bangla. So there is nothing that we there's nothing to talk. So that hospitality is like one visit. One visit long, right? The next time, you don't want to go, they don't want you to come, because, not because they are your enemies, but because we don't have the language. But if you know the language, then a completely different vista opens, completely different door opens. So that is the first most important thing I learned, which is the importance of language for opening the doors to the culture. Now, why is that important? It's very important also from a religious angle. And here I'm talking about Arabic, which is that not only to understand the Quran, but to understand the whole culture and the society, the atmosphere of the time of Rasulullah and the time of the Sahaba and so on and so forth. And for those who are interested in history, and we should be interested in history, to understand the changes that happened over the years, over the centuries, knowing the Arabic language, being able to understand it at a professional, at a native speaker level, being able to understand Arabic poetry, for example. That's another beautiful area, poetry. Kanan Vadiyar, my Tamil teacher, one of the things he taught me was the poetry of Thirukkural, Avargal. The Thirukkural, the book itself, is the handiwork of one of the greatest Tamil poets, Thiruvalluvar. Who wrote that? And it's a series of stanzas of ashar, two lines each. The first line has four words, and the second line has three words. That is the meter. That's the metric on which it is written, and it covers practically every aspect of life. So he taught me those, and some of those I memorized. I remember them till today. Now, that gives you another opening into the Tamil culture at a different level. And this is what happens, of course, again in Arabic or any other language, which is that the poetry gives you an insight. Urdu poetry, for example, is one of the most beautiful insights into the lives of Urdu-speaking people in the Indian subcontinent. Bangla poetry, for example, that's why... even though Rabindranath Tagore was not a Muslim, in Bangladesh, I have seen Rabindra Sangeet is very, very popular, because it touches the heart, because it comes from the cultural roots of the people. It's not a matter of religion. It's a matter of the of where it comes from, the cultural roots. And religion is not against it. Religion is very much part of the culture of the land. Islam, to become Muslim, doesn't mean that you have to become an Arab. Arabization of everything is not required. What is required is Islamization, meaning that anything in the culture which is in line with Islam is perfectly acceptable in that culture without any change. But only those things which may be in different cultures may be anti-Islam, against the tenets of Islam. And this is true for Arab culture as well. Arab culture is not by definition Islamic. There are many things in the Arab culture which are un-Islamic. But those we don't follow. We follow the Islamic ruling and not the cultural ruling. That's the only difference. Anyway, the point I want to make here before I end is the importance of maintaining our friendships, maintaining our contact with our friends, because this comes from our, it's an acknowledgement, when we do that, it's an acknowledgement of the investment that both parties have made in that relationship over the years. That acknowledgement, that relationship and that contribution must be honored, must be acknowledged, and the way to do that is through maintaining contact and being grateful. I am most grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank Allah for the beautiful friendships that I have developed over the years and the friends that I have kept. And I thank all of them. And this is what I recommend to you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.